BBC Radio Berkshire.
This is Howard Hughes.
Choir of angels, once again heralding the appearance of the man who has the answer to all questions. Well, certainly technological. Fevzi Turkup, the old gadget detective. Actually, the very young gadget detective. How are you, Fevzi?
Am I being replaced?
No,
is there something I should know?
No. Meet the new gadget detective, better than the old gadget detective, I say. Which is a little bit of a take on a song lyric. Lots to talk about, as ever, this week. Let's start with Facebook, because this made the news during the week. A lot of people get a bit naffed off seeing Facebook's ads constantly appearing. But of course, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because ads fund the website. Facebook's fired a warning shot at ad-blocking software, the stuff that you can download and cut the ads, by making changes that will force you to see them.
Yeah, so this is part of an arms race, effectively, between those websites that rely upon advertisements for their existence in many cases, and people who don't want to see ads all the time. And it's difficult. I mean, this is the latest step from Facebook. Other websites have changed their websites to detect ad blocking software and tell you either to switch it off or to sling your hook. And I've seen some quite terse statements, you know, when using a web ad blocker myself, for test purposes at least. So it's a tricky one. So Facebook are saying you have to see ads, but we're going to give you more control over the type of ads that you see and the types of advertisers that you will see. So they're trying to balance the situation, but at the same time they're forcing people with ad blockers still to see ads. I think the problem is this: that ads on the internet have gone crazy. They are often very, very intrusive, and they're allowed to take over your whole screen, and often it's hard to shut them down, or you have to wait for a certain period of time before you can do so. And you know, there are rules for advertising on television and radio, for example, and advertisers have to follow those rules, whereas on the internet it's tiger country. So really what you need is some sort of regulation of those advertisements. The other problem is that advertisements are often used as what's called an attack vector for malware. That's to say that ads can be used as a way of getting malware onto your system. And again, that needs to be dealt with as well, because it's one thing saying you should watch ads, it's another thing saying you should make your machine vulnerable. So there's a long way to go on this. It's an interesting move from Facebook. I hope they spend some of their huge resources on trying to make those advertisements less intrusive and safer.
And the big question that we haven't got time to explore is, who is speaking up for the consumer? That's you and me here. You know, who puts our point of view to them? There aren't very many people doing that. So I think that's something
briefly,
we need to look at.
We're voting with our feet because 200 million people are using ad blockers, and that's speaking. So,
well, they need to get hearing. The gadget of the week. Now, I bought recently a Kitsound Wi-Fi speaker for my phone, and I found it was very good. So interesting to see that they've come out with something new.
Yeah, no, they've been quite innovative with some of the products they've brought out recently. So this is something called the Kitsound Link. So Kitsound is a brand and Link is the name of the product. And it's a little box that you can attach to almost any speaker in your home, any speaker that has either a line input or an optical audio input, or even, you know, an input on your old hi-fi. We've got a spare input on your old, you know, hi-fi stack. You can convert it into a wireless Wi-Fi speaker.
Used to be called auxiliary, I think you find.
Yeah, auxiliary input, yes, quite right. Don't use the phono input, won't work. This, you get one of these boxes for every one of these speakers in each room if you want. So you can wire up or make wirelessly connected your whole house worth of old speakers. Now, this is important because most of the money that goes into a smart speaker is not into the smart, it's into the speaker, particularly if it's of a good quality. And a lot of us have speakers literally around the house that are dumb speakers. They do what they were doing in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s, but they're still going strong. We don't necessarily want to get rid of them, but this upgrades them. So you attach one of these little boxes to either the line input or the optical input on that on that speaker or amplifier. You then download an app for either for iOS or Android, Apple or Android devices. Then you can stream wirelessly via Wi-Fi in your home to a multitude of services, including Spotify Connect, Napster, Rhapsody, TuneIn Radio. You can also use it with your PC or network-attached storage, so your whole music collection that might be stored on one of those two devices can also be streamed. Also, if a friend comes round to your home, they can also use their smartphone to add their own tracks to the playlist as well. So it's quite interesting for a sort of party setup.
It's all getting out of hand, isn't it? I wonder where we get the time to use all these things.
Well, the nice thing about this is you then have a choice on how you can use it. Either you can have the same song playing in every speaker around the house, but synchronized. And that's actually a big deal because some of them don't synchronize very well. So you can go around the house and listen to the same thing, or you can stream different music into different rooms. So essentially, very similar functionality to the Sonos speakers, but Sonos speakers, you know, you virtually need a lot of money for. I was going to say a mortgage is not quite that bad, but it's very expensive to kit out a house with Sonos. Sonos were the first to do this, but this does much the same thing, but it's much cheaper. List price on each of these link boxes is £60. Best price I've seen from a well-known online retailer is £62.91, as I researched it, and that's actually cheap. I mean, there's not nothing sort of money, but it's not in the high hundreds as it would be if you were buying.
And I'm sure other kinds will be available. We have to say that. Now, Serious matters. We have 2 minutes to do this, but it's a big story and was all over the national news about 4 or 5 days back. Android bug fear. Now, this is something to do with a chip, I think, that affects potentially, they told us, 900 million Android phones worldwide.
Yeah. So there's a manufacturer called Qualcomm with a Q, and they produce the chipsets that go into almost a billion Android phones currently, 900 million Android phones. And those chipsets are usually to do with, the communications of the phone. And what they've found, what researchers have found, is that there's bugs in the software that runs on those particular chipsets. So it's not in the Android code provided by Google, but it's shipped with the Android code. It's part of Android by the time it gets shipped and installed on your phone. And there are 4 security vulnerabilities in there, any one of which could be used by an app to take control of your Android device, perhaps without you knowing it, so that they could steal data from you, so that they could take your credit card information, your bank information. Maybe they could scramble all your files and ransom them back to you. There's any number of things that could be done. So it's a problem because of two reasons. A number of phones, and not only phones, but also tablets are potentially affected by this. But also because of the way that Android works, it's very hard to roll out a patch across the whole user base. It's
okay,
like,
so as
like
the
Apple.
Seconds tick down, is the answer to this antivirus on your phone, I've just installed AMC on one phone and Norton on another, is that now an essential?
Okay.
Well, I do apologise we lost that, and I'll tell you exactly why we lost that. I actually dropped something on a keyboard, which has never happened to me on radio. Somebody just said to me something that I needed to be reminded about, and something fell on the keyboard. And it actually hit the button that played the song that I was hoping to play right at the end of the show, which didn't exactly mess it all up for me, but we lost the end of Febzy, which we pre-record, and I do apologise about that. That is a chance in a million, but of course it can only happen to you. It is the curse of BBC Radio Berkshire, I think you'll find. Literally, something that I had on the desk here, I just leant forward, it dropped like a stone and hit the precise button that stopped Febzy and started the next song. That is the kind of thing that I think our entertainment correspondent Jenny Priestley can probably concur could only happen to me. But we were talking, by the way, at the end with Febzy about a security vulnerability with Android phones, 900 million affected. But that is the kind of thing that wasn't my fault and could only happen in a random situation like that. Django, Jenny Priestley on entertainment, save me, please. How are you this morning? Oh, are you there, Jenny? Jenny, are you there? Testing 1, 2, 3. Jenny Priestley? No, we've got no Jenny.